All right, hey, let's start, Chris, by talking about the big trade as Dave Dombrowski went out and helped himself in the back of the bullpen by picking up Craig Kimbrell. From a prospect's perspective, did he give up too much?
So I think the simple answer is yes, I think he overpaid. Now, you can get a lot more nuanced than that, obviously, because overpaying isn't necessarily this, cardinal sin that, this isn't the Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell trade by any stretch or anything like that. I'm not saying it's a disaster that's setting the franchise back. From my perspective, what the Red Sox gave up was super steep for a guy that's going to help the team by pitching 60 to 70 innings a year, and that's the thing. Even though Craig Kimbrell is definitely one of the top two or three relievers in the game, at least from a reliability on a year-in, year-out basis. And he's actually pretty young. He's going to be 28 through 30, I think, for the 3 years they've got him under control in his contract. But they gave up a pretty significant package that included four of their top 25 prospects. The top two guys they gave up in center fielder Manuel Margot and shortstop Javier Guerra are both going to be top 100 prospects this offseason. Margot will at least be top 50, and you know what? I could see Garrett cracking the top 50 on a couple of lists. I'm pretty sure, for example, Keith Law, ESPN, will put him on his because he loves Garrett. So they gave up a hefty price for a guy who, while elite, relievers only throw a certain number of innings. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how this comes down in the end, to be honest. Like I said, I think they did know they were overpaying a little bit. It's just whether or not the overpayment might have been worth it, so to speak, although that may be a bit of a contradiction.
Well, Aaron, in your prospects list, number one, top of the list, and a guy I think everybody is glad they didn't move is Yoan Moncada, who really got a lot of attention this year with the numbers that he put up finishing the season at Greenville with 49 stolen bases, and that opened everybody's eyes.
Yeah, he had a great end of the year. He took a while, really, to get going. He got to Greenville a little later than a lot of us thought he would. Apparently, he got a little dinged up in that extended spring training. We knew he wasn't going to break camp on opening day just because of when he signed, and, he was a little behind the eight ball in terms of getting into camp. But, I know when we were down there, he wasn't participating in games yet. He was just kind of working out off to the side on his own, and I think he was taking his own BP, not the normal BP. He went to Greenville at some point, I think in May or perhaps early June, kind of scuffled a little bit until the All-Star break, but he came back from the All-Star break and performed exactly like you would have hoped he would with the signing bonus he got. He's a guy that really could impact the game in multiple facets at the plate on the base pass. He's got the tools to become a pretty good defender, though he's definitely not close to that yet. He's definitely a work in progress in the field, and his ultimate position down the road is definitely at least a little bit in question. I'm not sure he sticks at second base or if that's where the team would want to fit him. But, he's a guy that's really exciting. I think he probably starts this year in high A Salem, and would not surprise me at all to see him up in Portland by the end of the year. In fact, I'd probably bet good money on that.
Did his stock rise the most of anybody in their minor league system?
I would say no, only because of how highly regarded he was when he signed. In fact, I would probably say it was almost kind of a U-shape, and that it went down a little bit when he struggled so much, because he wasn't just struggling statistically. It wasn't just that the hits weren't falling in. It was that he really was struggling when he first got assigned to Greenville. So he started the year, considered as one of the top 10, 15 prospects in the game, really struggled a lot in the early first half of the season, and then his performance in the second half sort of regained his stock, so to speak. As far as, the guy who maybe might be the kind of highest riser, it might have been Javier Guerra, who they just traded to San Diego, unfortunately. He was a guy who came into the season with some questions about his bat. We knew he was a plus defender, and that might even be plus-plus. He's really fun to watch in the field, but came into the year with questions about his bat, and then he hit 15 home runs for a guy who wasn't supposed to be able to do much at the plate. Now, we don't think he'll keep that power. We don't think he'll project to hit for that many home runs in the majors, but he showed that something's in there, and that certainly raised his stock a lot. He was a guy we thought might move up a lot, and he did. I should mention the other guy is 17-year-old Anderson Espinoza, who was signed out of Venezuela last offseason for a record signing bonus for a Venezuelan. I think he doubled the previous record that was held by Francisco Rodriguez, the closer. He came into the year and made his way all the way up to Greenville at age 17. And just to put that in context, he was 13 months younger than anybody else in the league when he made one start at the very end of the year for Greenville. He is one of the most exciting young pitchers they've had in the system in a very, very long time. He moved up to number three in our season end rankings from, I think he was probably in the 30s when the season started. He wound up being just a dynamite player who dominated the Dominican Summer League and Gulf Coast League, which are both rookie ball leagues. I'm very excited to see what he does next season.
We're talking with Chris Hatfield of SoxProspects.com. On the website, he mentioned that Moncada will not be playing winter ball because of a left hand injury. Who are the guys who are playing winter ball that we want to keep an eye on and monitor in this offseason?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Between Moncada never actually made it to winter ball because of a hand injury he suffered during the fall instructional league. Travis Shaw was supposed to go to Puerto Rico and work on playing third base, but he played in one game and left Puerto Rico because he suffered a shoulder impingement. And then Christian Vasquez, the catcher who missed the entire year with due to Tommy John surgery, he was going to go down to his native Puerto Rico and just DH. But the team he played for in San Juan actually folded for, I think it's just a temporary thing, but they folded and weren't going to play. He had his rights traded to another team for, I guess, however long his other team is folded for. And that team was extremely far from where he lived or something. And I mean, I have no sense of how hard it is to get from one place to another in Puerto Rico, but apparently travel was an issue and the team had more players and wasn't really committed to getting him at bat, so they weren't playing him very much. So he actually asked for his release because it was a waste of his time or something. So those are three guys who, to answer the converse of your question, aren't playing winter ball this offseason that we're supposed to be. But as for guys who are down there, you know, it's funny, Margot was playing in the Dominican Winter League, and he's now traded. But Rafael Devers, the young third baseman who spent the year in low A, who's we've got ranked number two in the system, he'll be a top 25 prospect this offseason in the game. He's playing in the Dominican as well at a very young age. It's not often you see someone his age. He spent this year, he was 19. He is playing at a very, very age-advanced level there down in the Dominican League. They've got major leaguers and AAA guys who play in that league. So the fact that he's getting a decent number of at-bats is very interesting. Some other guys who are playing in the Arizona Fall League, it's really not a star-studded list of guys. The top guy in the Arizona Fall League for the Red Sox is Sam Travis, who we had ranked number 9 in the system before the Craig Kimbrell trade. He'll move up to number 7 now. He's kind of an interesting guy. He's a first baseman who can really hit. He's hitting .316 out there with a home run. He's slugging .474. He's got a bunch of doubles. The question on him is whether he's got kind of the over-the-fence power to stick at first base. But as we've seen with some other guys in the game, you don't necessarily need to hit 35 bombs in this day and age in baseball, now that we're out of the steroid era, to be a first baseman. If you do everything else, if you can field the position, if you're hitting doubles, if you're getting on base at a high clip. He's an interesting guy to watch for me to see whether the bat's going to be good enough to stick at first base in the majors. He was in Portland for half of this past season. I think he's going to start next year at Pawtucket, but he could go back to Portland very briefly. He's another guy to keep an eye on.
Well, I tell you, it sure looks like they've got a winner with their first pick this year's draft. Andrew Benintendi had a tremendous season after coming up .313 average, and you guys have him ranked number 5 on your prospect list.
Yeah, and he's actually going to move up to 4 once we remove Manuel Margot. He had a great year. It's kind of funny, you know, 2 years ago they had the number 7 pick and they drafted Trey Ball, who's has kind of, you know, not performed up to expectations for what you would think you'd be getting at the number 7 pick. If they redid that draft, he'd go a lot later. With Benintendi, if they redid this year's draft today, he would not fall to number 7. He might go in the top 3 or something. He was outstanding. Granted, you know, the guy who won, I think, 4 major national awards is the National Player of the Year. So the Golden Spikes Award, the Dick Howser Award. There's many different National Player of the Year awards in baseball. And, you know, he won, I think, all of them. He came into the system and just never stopped hitting. I think he actually scuffled for about a week. But the big question with him was he was a draft-eligible sophomore who didn't play summer ball between his freshman and sophomore years because of an injury, and so no one knew if he could hit with wood bats, and boy, did he answer that. So now the question is going to be getting him up to some age-appropriate competition. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if he skips high A entirely and starts next year in Portland. He's that advanced of a hitter. It's funny, you see him, and he's not a big guy. You know, he's kind of a maybe an outfield version of a Dustin Pedroia. Maybe he's a little taller, but you know, I was looking at one highlight at some point this season where he hit a walk-off home run and he gets into the pile and he just disappears at home plate because all of his teammates are bigger than him. Hits a lot bigger than his size, can field a very pretty good center field. He could move through the system very quickly, and I think that's part of what made Margot expendable in the Kimbrel trade, really. The fact that in Boston you've got Rusne Castillo, Mookie Betts, and Jackie Bradley manning the outfield in some configuration. I think Benintendi's moving up quickly enough behind them that trading Margot didn't really leave them kind of sunk from a depth perspective because they didn't really have a whole lot in AAA this past season. In terms of, I shouldn't say they didn't have a lot in AAA. It's the guys they had in AAA were Bradley and Castillo, who are now going to be in the majors, and they didn't really have anyone coming in behind them. So, yeah, Benintendi's going to be exciting to see this coming season as he gets his first taste of a full season ball.
Chris Hatfield, SoxProspects.com. Chris, always love talking with you. Some great information. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again a little later in the offseason.
That sounds like a plan, Rich. Thanks so much.